In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome in, everyone, to another edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thanks again for joining us today. My name is Dan Kotnick, and every other Tuesday, I get the wonderful opportunity to sit down and talk Green Bay Packers football with my podcasting significant others. It's Matt Freilich and Janelle Mackey. Guys, how are you doing? How was your Thanksgiving? We haven't talked since the holiday passed. A lot has happened since then, especially for the Green Bay Packers. So how was your holiday? And how, more importantly, how have you been?
Dan, very heartfelt intro. You brought the energy.
I'm in the very... It's past Thanksgiving, so we're in the Christmas spirit now. So this is
Dan's
this
never
is
this nice.
Dan.
It's kind of weird.
No, yeah. we got a lot to talk about this evening as we record. But I'm doing well. 4 days off from work and just Thanksgiving, kind of sitting around eating. It was good to get back working today. Obviously, it's even better recording this on a Victory Monday, beating the shit out of the Bears. And some exciting news to talk about. Janelle, how was your Thanksgiving in Minnesota?
Yeah, it was good. You know, got to see some family. We don't do the big thing. Obviously, we're smart about that. Just kind of some close family that we see all the time. And yeah, I mean, the cherry on top of a great weekend was watching that ass whooping the Packers gave the Bears. So That might be the first time I've ever sworn on this podcast, but it was justified.
I like it.
But yeah, it was like, how can you hate a Monday coming off of a night like that? You know, it's great. This is the first time in a while we've got to actually record a happy-go-lucky podcast together.
Yeah, that's true. Like, it's either been losses or really terrible wins, like the last three or four times that we've gotten together. So much, much needed change of pace. I really enjoyed that. Let me ask you just a hypothetical to start off with, since we're talking about kicking the snot out of the Chicago Bears on Sunday Night Football. Jacob Westendorf, our colleague at Pack-A-Day, has been trumpeting this around all day that the Packers Bears is not a rivalry, at least not right now, because of the record. What do you guys make of that take? Do you still consider things a rivalry if the record is lopsided one way or the other at any certain point?
I mean, that might have been Janelle's first time to swear. I know I've sworn before, but that's a horseshit take from Jacob Westendorf. that's a bad take. I mean, like, not only, yeah, I mean, that's just living in the moment, right? I mean, you could go back a few years and, like, Khalil Mack was terrorizing Aaron Rodgers. Like, it's just a couple bad games in a row here, 2, 3, 4 of them. Like, it goes and flows, right? I mean, it's never going to be always competitive, but through the history of the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears, there's so much history there. You could go 10 years without either team being relevant, and it would still be a huge rivalry. I mean, it's one of the biggest rivalries in all of professional and amateur sports.
Yeah, and it's like you try and understand what he's doing with this take, because he is in Illinois, so he's kind of surrounded by them, probably trying to poke fun at them, you know. Oh, it's not a rivalry because you're not very good. But yeah, how can you say it's not a rivalry? It's been 100 years worth of Packers Bears. So it's, you know, and it's not like I'm like, oh, well, you know, yeah, it's Sunday Night Football, it's against the Bears, but they haven't been good. So, you know, it doesn't matter as much. No, it matters a ton. It's kind of like, It's kind of like Vikings week for me. You know, it doesn't maybe feel like it leading up to it, and then all of a sudden game day hits and it's like, oh baby, here we go, Packers Bears, the rivalry, and you just never know what's going to happen in a game. Packers versus Bears, it's a divisional game, it's a rivalry game, it doesn't matter how bad one team is or the other, it could go any way because that's just the history of these two teams. So yeah, I disagree with Jacob. Yeah. I see what he's doing, but I'll say it in a nicer way than Matt did, but I see what he's doing, but I don't agree with it.
Yeah,
I'll say, I don't think he's saying it's not a rivalry. I just think maybe like the rivalry kind of like loses something with the record. And I don't agree with him. And I understand where Jacob is coming from, because as a fan of the team up north, I understand that his biggest rivalry against my Ohio State Buckeyes is something that he would maybe not consider a rivalry right now, because it's been about a decade since they've been relevant in that game. So I understand where he's coming from in all of this. And trust me, I hear it all the time from both sides of the Ohio State-Michigan thing. Well, it's not a rivalry if you beat the snot out of somebody this much. Trust me, as an Ohio State fan, I look forward to the 60-point smackdown that we lay on that team every single year. And the same goes with the Chicago Bears. I don't care if this rivalry is 20 wins in a row of 40-point deficit. It's a rivalry, and I love kicking the crap out of my rival. So,
and it just, it hits different when it's that rival. You know,
yeah,
scoring 40 on, let's say, like the Texans earlier this year maybe doesn't feel as good as scoring 40 on the Bears, and that's just because of the history of it. And it's like, you can have your right now rivals, kind of like how Seattle and Dallas can be, mm-hmm. but this is like the all-time rival.
Yeah. I don't want to see my rival do good.
No.
Like I hate, I always hated that. It's like, I don't want to see Michigan do good. I don't want to see the Bears, Vikings, or Lions do good. If you gave me the opportunity right now that we would kick the crap out of them every single year, like, I would take it. I'd never want them to be good. I want them to go winless every single year. So
absolutely,
screw the Bears. Let's talk about good positive stuff for the Packers here. This was a fun little, this was just a little cherry on top of that Sunday night game. I tell you what, well, the first one, kind of a small one. I think a lot of people, this, if I remember right, and I'm reading things right, I think this was already expected, but just mm-hmm. the Packers making this official is from the Chicago Bears claiming the defensive lineman Anthony Rush off of waivers. He's only in his second year, so just kind of one of those rotational guys to throw in there into the middle. I really, you know, am excited to see what maybe comes of that. But the big news today, guys, the Packers signing wide receiver / kickoff return specialist Tavon Austin. Initial reaction when you saw this drop on Twitter like 3 hours ago.
Yeah, so we had heard some grumblings, I think, around Thanksgiving that they were bringing him in for a workout, and I tapered the expectations. You're like, well, even if they're going to sign him whatever day that was, he wasn't going to play Sunday. But I'm pretty excited, to be honest. It's better than Tre'Mont Smith, better than Darius Shepherd, whoever else. I mean, in my lifetime of, I don't know, a couple decades of watching football, Tavon Austin's one of those people you can throw into kind of a class of his own with guys like Devin Hester, Cordarrelle Patterson, Josh Cribbs, guys that can really change a game by a single play, whether it be a punt return or a kick return. Now, we'll see if Tavon's still got a little bit of a juice left in those legs. I mean, being out of football for at least a year now, last action he saw, I believe, was with the Cowboys, and still was productive there in the special teams game, but definitely tapering my expectations when it comes to him on offense. I would be very, very disappointed and probably even more concerned with the wide receiving core if Tavon's getting snaps out there in that Matt LaFleur offense. But I'm excited to see what he can do because at this point, Jacob talked about it on Sunday. We're giving him a lot of publicity here. But he talked about on Sunday on one of the Game on Wisconsin pregame shows, just talking about all he wanted to see from Darius Shepherd over the weekend was just one hand in the air waving over his head during a punt and then two arms out for the kick or the touchback. So it's like, I think Tavon can do a little bit more than some theatrics out there. So I'm excited to see what he can do for the special teams group that desperately, once again, year after year, seems like it needs a little kick in the ass.
Yeah, and obviously it kind of seems like he'll be more special teams, like you said, Matt. It would be kind of odd to see him filling in a wide receiver role, especially right now. Maybe down the line, we don't know what he'll look like in practice, what injuries can flare up. Obviously, our receiving core has been pretty banged up. I think they were all on the injury report going into the Bears game at one point in the last week. So I think he brings a lot of unique play to the table because, yeah, you kind of touched on, we have never really had somebody this exciting to watch for returns. And the last few weeks I've kept saying, you know, no Tyler Ervin, that's the X factor, because the special team struggles and, you know, not knowing where you are on the field, muffing it, fumbling it, whatever. But after watching Tavon Austin's highlights, just what he can do with that return can be game altering. And we've never really had anybody like that. So it's really exciting to see. And like you said, kind of the speed, hopefully he still has his legs under him, because that's another thing that you notice in guys like this is you can't train speed. So when you see a guy who's fast that can also benefit the team in such a great way, it's awesome. And it gets me so excited. And, you know, it might be cool later down the road if he does get a couple from Aaron Rodgers, you know, finally a first round wide receiver Aaron Rodgers can throw to. I know everybody's going to be so excited about that, but yeah, I really didn't see anything that I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm really down on this signing. No, I'm hyped about it and I'm excited to see what he can do. Cause yeah, we don't know what Tyler Ervin, his situation will be. And you never know, this is a guy you can throw into a sweep if you want to, or he's a long ball threat, or he's a returning threat. So he's got all these pieces to him, and I'm excited to see the way that he fits into this team.
Do you think that there's a chance that this means the end of Tyler Ervin with the Green Bay Packers? Because Ervin kind of, they list him as a running back, don't they, on the chart? So, I mean, like, he's not taking up, he's basically taking the wide receiver spot of, you would assume, Darius Shepherd or Malik Taylor. I don't think the corresponding move has been made just yet, but he takes a wide receiver spot. But, you know, does this hamper anything that Tyler Ervin might contribute moving forward?
I think as far as his productivity on offense, it's been fine what it needs to be. Now, he's not doing himself any favors with the injuries and not being out on the field the last month, it seems. So that might open the door potentially for Nathaniel Hackett and Matt LaFleur to kick the tires on Tavon, running those jet sweeps and jet motions. Cause I mean, like Janelle said, you can't teach speed. He definitely could probably run one of those plays. He was somewhat dynamic in the Dallas Cowboys offense when he was used with Kellen Moore. They would run him on some jet motions and whatnot, some weird bubble screens and, motion routes. So maybe it opens up the door with Tyler Ervin being injured, but I still like what Ervin can bring when he's fully healthy. But there could be the potential there to try him not only at the special teams game, but also in those limited snaps on offense too.
2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world, with more total visits than any other job site, according to ComScore. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly, so you can focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now, Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Term and conditions apply.
So the other part of this thing, too, is Kenny Stills is still sitting out here. That's been kind of the, like, Twitter fan favorite ever since they didn't trade for Will Fuller. And then it was announced that Kenny Stills would go on waivers. Do you think Kenny Stills is still an option out there? Do you think that you said Tavon Austin takes a wide receiver spot. Do you think they pull the trigger on somebody like Kenny Stills and take up another receiving spot, and who gets cut, who has to make room for him? And is that something that you would want to see the Packers try to take a stab at with Kenny?
Kenny Stills is a good football player. I like what he brings. I think he's a pretty intense dude. I don't see any character issues with him too much, but I think right now with where the offense is, especially with the receivers, they're all healthy. Everyone essentially everyone contributed on Sunday, but you didn't really see much from MVS, and that may have been just with Lazard being healthy, EQ being more into the mix. I'm pretty set where the receivers are right now. You know, who knows? You could ask me a week from now after the Eagles game, and all of a sudden someone's banged up and they need a guy. So at this point, I'm okay. And I think the fact that he maybe passed through waivers might tell you a little bit more. Maybe there's not as much left in Kenny Stills as people thought, or that talent. Maybe it's just more of a name than talent. But I'm all set with Kenny Stills. I don't have a need or a desire to have him even come in for a practice.
Yeah, if you ask me maybe like a month ago when you're missing guys like Adams and Lazard, it's like, yeah, anybody get him in here. But yeah, everybody was active last night. Everyone was ready to go. There's always the concerns, you know, with MVS and his, I think it's his Achilles, and Lazard kind of taking that hard hit right to the core. And it's like, that's kind of scary. But yeah, especially with bringing in Austin, now it's like, okay, well, if need be, we have this guy. And we still have guys like Malik Taylor, too, that can step up. So I don't know. It would be cool to bring him in for a workout or something, but I don't have this dying desire to bring Kenny Stills in now that we're kind of sitting okay with the receiver core and everybody seems to be playing well and getting involved. You know, last night, everybody, even EQ, kind of breaking out of his shell. So it's not a need at this point. Yeah, like you said, Matt, maybe in 2 weeks, my opinion completely changes and it's like, wow, we need to go get him now. But mm-hmm. I'm content with what I see as of right now on Monday night.
Yeah. And, you know, who knows, maybe Tavon Austin does something. I don't think we're expecting that, but maybe as practices go on, Aaron Rodgers becomes a little bit familiar with him. I'm not expecting it just because of how late in the season it is and how, you know, how different practices are right now with COVID and everything. So that'll be interesting to see how he develops into the offense, if at all. But yeah, I sort of agree with you guys. Like, he would be sort of a nice little piece to add, but I just don't know how much it really changes the dynamic at mm-hmm. this point in the season. Yeah. Well, let's look at the here and now, guys. This week, the game coming up against the Philadelphia Eagles. So Packers are coming off of a huge win going into this game, another one where they should be favored probably about the same. And it's almost it's weird that it's almost like a similar situation with the Eagles, of not really sure who their quarterback is. Couple talented pieces that fly all around, especially on defense with Darius Slay. So it's a very similar, I feel like it's a very similar kind of scenario. Well, but let me ask you this. Is it more embarrassing this year to lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars, who the Packers almost lost to, or a team, literally any team, out of the NFC East?
Oof. That's a really good question. I thought you're...
I feel like considering the way the East looks, I would have to go with any team out of the East.
Really?
I would, because the Jags, okay. They always seem to have some kind of fire lit in them, no matter how bad they are. They come out and play hard. And you just watch these NFC East teams, and it's just like, oh my gosh, it looks like backyard football sometimes. Like, it's just,
it does.
It's not pretty. It's not fun. It's fun when they play each other because it's an equal matched game. But I don't know, the Jaguars, they always seem to bring something to the table and kind of catch you on your toes. So even though they're better than their record, whereas the NFC East, they fit their record.
There's just so much talent in the NFC East. Like, I know, like, the teams aren't good right now, but every team has players. Like, they have multiple players that could be good at any given day. They just can't put it together. Where, like, the Jags, like, rookie quarterback right now, rookie running back who's blowing the top off the league. And, like, besides that, I mean, there's not much there to be excited about. I would be more embarrassed for the Jaguars, but, I mean, it's not that big of a margin, to be honest. It's really, it's pretty darn close.
We should just move the Jaguars into the NFC East and just call it what it is.
Oh, jeez.
The NFC East should just be like the relegation for like the team that wins the NFC East gets to come play in the NFL. But if you don't win, you're the last team in the NFL. You get sent down to the
NFC
East.
I'm having
a
really weird deja vu. I feel like we talked about this like a year ago, something like this, where it's like, you know, the top XFL team gets to come in and the bottom NFL team draft. Do you remember that?
I was going to say that's, I mean, it would be like a feeder league, but I feel
we had talked about something like this.
No, I think we might have had this conversation all together, and that was, I think we just solved the problem that we never knew we, it was just so easy. You just take one of the leagues, or take one of the take one of the divisions that is struggling mightily, and just turn that into the feeder program, and, that, and there you're set. You got the interim between the NCAA and the NFL.
There you go.
simple solution.
That's right. So the NFC East will play, they'll play each other six times. So right. You got six games there. And then you just play like the top two teams from the Power Five conferences. So you'll play like Ohio State, Alabama.
Yep. Like, you'll look good in your division and then get humbled. And
Guys, it just works too damn well that it can't happen. Like, every piece fits together with this.
I am definitely going to vote Dan Kotnick as the next NFL commissioner. He will get it done for us.
Oh, jeez.
All right. Back to reality. things that can actually happen. With this week, storylines for the Packers this week, thankfully, there's really not that many, because the Packers played so well on Sunday and came out of the game relatively injury free that it's really, for me, like, the storyline is just keep doing what you're doing. Like, everything you just did on Sunday, just do that again, like, do that more. The biggest thing for me this week is obviously Corey Linsley, but that's not even so much of a storyline for this week, because it's not as if we're expect, like, there's a chance that he can come back. Like, it's Matt LaFleur. I'm trying to make sure that I say it correctly now. He said it's not season ending, but there's really no chance he comes back this week. So really, guys, like, it's just keep doing what you're doing, especially along that offensive line. Like, that's been I want to say, like, the MVP. Like, Aaron Rodgers playing MVP, but the MVP of this team is the offensive line this year.
The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline online today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
I totally agree. Like, it can't go unnoticed. Like, there's been so many years where you've had just shambles on the bookends, or like someone like Evan Dietrich Smith taking snaps at center, or just like guys that it's just like, dude, like, you're getting blown up, right? And just like, maybe even if you want to pick one specific person, it's Elgton Jenkins. And I think he, to be honest, isn't getting enough praise, as crazy as that sounds. Just the versatility as a second year guy, just at the drop of a hat. I mean, it's the exact same scenario we had 2 weeks ago, where he just has to get thrusted in there at center and is just like, yep, give me the ball. Like, I'm good to go. And you're able to see John Runyon take snaps, John Runyon Jr., but they've been just steady Eddie. I mean, it's worked well for the passing game, the run game, and it's fantastic. So at this point, yeah, I mean, I didn't see that. Linsley, they were saying that he's possibly out, and it was the back last week. I guess now it was the hamstring. Dan said that he's more than likely going to be out for Matt LaFleur. But, I mean, it sucks, because Lindsley's one of those guys we've talked about in the past that it's like, you know, is he going to get resigned? And at this point, it's, you know, back-to-back injuries, not the greatest, but hopefully he can rebound and his position will be ready for him when he comes back healthy. Up until then, Elgton Jenkins will be keeping that ball warm come December.
Yeah, and last night on Twitter, I was kind of posting some stuff about the offensive line, because, yeah, like you said, the offensive line is so important. You know, I've brought it up about how they make our run game look good, and obviously protecting Aaron Rodgers, especially when key pieces go down. I mean, we were missing Bakhtiari weeks ago, and now struggling with Linsley, and Rodgers didn't get sacked at all last night against an amazing front seven. I think that has to tell you something about what this offense can do and the depth of them. And Elgton Jenkins, yeah, he deserves so much praise. Like I said, he reminds me of J.C. Treader a few years back, if you remember him, how he was just some guy that if you needed him to get plugged in anywhere, he could do it, and he would do it great. And he's actually one that filled in for Lindsley a couple of times when he got hurt. So, yeah, now it's, you know, Lindsley's got these injuries, not just this year, but he's also had injuries in the past. I say just, you know, we can get by without Lindsley. Keep Jenkins in there and have Lindsley just heal up, because you want Lindsley for the later part of this season. Looking at the rest of our schedule, you should be able to get by without him and let him rest, because you don't want him to come back, force it, and end up being out for the season. So, yeah, Elgton Jenkins is doing a phenomenal job. And if they can play like that against the Bears, I'm pretty confident in these next few weeks, if need be. And, yeah, Runyon also getting a lot of praise from Rodgers the last few weeks. And, yeah, this offensive line, it's exciting. You know, we have been so blessed, at least since I've started watching football, with just a solid offensive line and the depth of these guys. So Packers do it right when it comes to the offensive line, 100%.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I think too, you have to give all the credit, like you just said, Janelle, like give the credit to the Packers organization for doing this. You go out and you got Billy Turner, like one of your biggest offensive free agent moves in, I mean, hell, that's the biggest free agent move they've made on offense in years. You know, yep. You can look at Mercedes Lewis and Jimmy Graham, but they don't have the impact that Billy Turner has. Billy right. Turner is having a damn good season. You know, I think he's become kind of a bit of a punching bag for some people online. And but I go back and look at every game that they've played this year. Outside of Tampa Bay, name one game where the offensive line struggled. You know, and I think if you line them up again, Packers, Bucks, I think that offensive line does better. I think that whole offense and team does better against Tampa Bay if you run it back again. Like this offensive line has been handling everyone. And I heard this too is, you know, well, who's Billy Turner played? What kind of pass rushers has this offensive line gone up and faced? You know who have they faced? NFLers. You know, like they're not playing Rutgers. Like this isn't Ohio State plowing over Rutgers for 500 yards rushing. This is an NFL offensive line that has done fantastic all season long. It handled injuries at pretty much every single position, basically, and is one of the strengths of the team. And so, then especially since I'm on a bit of a soapbox to all the people that say the Packers organization has never done anything for Aaron Rodgers, not many quarterbacks get to go out there and play behind an offensive line like that their entire career. So speaking of Aaron Rodgers, I think one of the other storylines moving forward for this year, or for this week and for the rest of the year, the milestones for Aaron Rodgers. He obviously hit the 50,000 yard mark last night. Which was awesome to see, especially on a shot like that to Robert Tonyan. And then now three touchdowns away from the 400 mark, which we have to imagine happens this week, right? Like it has to happen this week against a Philadelphia team like this.
It should.
Yeah, he's been playing hot. Like, why not? I think he could get three easily. Maybe they run the ball and go more to that, but it seems like their weakness right now is in the secondary. So yeah. Three doesn't seem – it's not too far-fetched. That'd be awesome to get it.
Yeah, it's exciting, you know. And what was it last night after the game? They're like, what do you feel about these milestones? And he's kind of like, well, it means I've been playing for a while. You know, he's humble there, but, you know, we'll get the Pac McAfee side tomorrow when this episode comes out, and you'll get the real dirt on how he feels, mm-hmm. I'm sure. But, yeah, it's just, like, another thing, just so blessed to have a quarterback like that who's just so fun to watch. And it's like, he'll be 37 this week, and he's not playing like he's 37, you know? He's having a phenomenal year, and he kind of has this kiddish vibe, you know, when he goes out there and celebrates with the team, and you're like, he's kind of like the old man trying to be hip with the crew. And it's just, it's so fun to watch him. It's hard not to just have fun watching what he does. And it's just, you're in such awe, but at the same time, it's like, he does this all the time. Like, we praise him so much for it, but it's not out of the ordinary for him to just do what he does. And yeah, he leaves me speechless with what he does. And it's like, only 50,000 yards, Rodgers? Like, come on. But, you know, yeah, all these milestones that are coming around. And I don't know. We're just so lucky. And I just want to be able to watch him for as long as possible.
Yeah, lucky for sure. Here's a question for you. Just blind guess. Who catches the 400th touchdown pass? Whether it be this week or whenever it happens.
I'm going to say Mercedes Lewis.
Ooh, big dog.
Oh, yeah. You know, they've got that secret little bond going. I mean, not much of a secret, but, you know, they're kind of like the old guys on the team, and they go do their handshake after a big touchdown. And, yeah, I just see him kind of tipping his hat to Mercedes Lewis, giving him that milestone. And who Mercedes Lewis, he also just hit 400 receptions last night. So, mm-hmm. You know, that's – everybody's hitting the milestone. So, yeah, I'm going to say – big dog touchdown, because they leave him open too much. It's just, it's destiny.
I like the big dog. I'm going to go MVS, just because he didn't get involved this past game against the Bears. Maybe get a deep shot again. You know, he being Aaron Rodgers, has had a lot of praise for Marquez over the last few weeks, even this year, especially just saying that he thinks he's a good player, just kind of building his confidence a little bit more. So I'll go with him. Seems like the low hanging one would be Davante Adams, but I want to see someone that's a little bit of an outlier.
Well, Davante usually gets the first one or two, and then true. They share the wealth. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Davante opens up the seal, and everyone else comes through. Yep. I like MVS. I'm going to go Robert Tonyan again. I think it happens. He got the 50,000 yard catch. I think he gets it for three touchdowns. Or for 400 touchdowns as well. So I guess, yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm sure none of us will be right. And it'll be Davante Adams catching every mm-hmm. single touchdown on Sunday.
A hat trick for Davante to just prove us wrong. I wouldn't complain.
No, you know what it'll be? You know what it'll be is like everyone on the team, like everyone that we've guessed scores a touchdown, but Davante will be, his one touchdown catch will be the 400 touchdown catch. Yep. just to spite us,
you know. Exactly. They obviously pay attention to what we're saying.
They listen every single
week.
They
pay attention to the media.
I don't know why people don't think that they don't listen to us. Speaking of the team this week, guys, the Eagles, currently we're recording Monday night, so we're literally in the middle of Monday Night Football. So the team that we're going up against, how many weeks now has this been the case where that we're recording on a Monday and we're watching the opponent that the Packers are getting ready for on this Monday night game. So the Eagles are playing right now and actually doing a lot better against the Seahawks than I thought they would be. I thought they were going to roll over against the Seahawks, but so far have not done so, at least not on defense. But the offense is where I want to look at for the Eagles, guys, because a little bit of a quarterback controversy brewing in the city of brotherly love. Jalen Hurts was taking some first team reps this week. There's been talk about him possibly getting more reps as the season goes on. I think I saw like he's only had two passes so far this season. He's been in on a lot of like those like gadget kind of run plays. But do you think that we see more Jalen Hurts this coming week, or do you think it depends on what we see out of Monday night tonight?
So last week, I don't remember who the Eagles played. It's kind of irrelevant, but I just remember having a really, really bad taste in my mouth after watching that game, just watching how bad Carson Wentz played. And I was just thinking, like, come that Monday, I'm like, when are they going to give Jalen a shot? And, like, went back and looked. I thought they spent a third-round pick on him. It was actually a second-round pick. Doug Peterson had mentioned in a press conference after the game, someone asked him, like, hey, when's Jalen going to get a look? He's like, well, basically when the season's over. Which would tell you, I mean, they're still fighting for that NFC, that troublesome NFC East, as we've highlighted already early in this episode. So the way they're playing right now in this game that Dan's highlighting is the defense is playing good, the offense is not there. So maybe if they lose and they're out of, you know, contention, I guess they wouldn't be, because the NFC East is that bad. You would expect Jalen to get some more snaps, but he hasn't been on the field yet, and we're almost through the first quarter. I would like to see Jalen get some reps. I'm a fan of Jalen Hurts. I think Carson Wentz, I don't know what's wrong with him. I mean, I know he doesn't have the best offensive line, as we've highlighted. The receiving core and the running game is very inconsistent, and, you know, at oftentimes look very below average of what the league's talent level is. So, you know, it's tough to really say when he's going to get a shot in Jalen Hurts, but I would like him to see again an opportunity. I wouldn't like it to be the first game that the Packers play him and they have to scheme on him on a, you know, on a short week and something like that. So, we'll see what happens, but at some point Jalen's going to get a look because they brought him in as a second round pick for a reason.
Yeah. And Carson Wentz just hasn't lived up to the hype that he was supposed to. So, yeah, I mean, like you said, we're just ending quarter one here of this Eagles Seahawks game and it's 0-0. So their offense isn't doing anything, but their defense is doing everything. So I don't know. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe later after we're done recording this, Jalen Hurts gets to go in, depending on if this game really gets out of hand. I don't know. But yeah, it would be, it'd be concerning to have to play Jalen Hurts trying to figure out kind of, you know, it, he's a younger guy. So it's like, oh, well, maybe he'll have those jitters that first game against, like, hopefully a hot defense coming off of this Bears game. But, yeah, you don't know with those guys where you don't know how to scheme against them because you don't have a lot of film on them. You know, it can be kind of a big question mark, too. So I don't know. I think he should have already been taking snaps, I feel like. I mean, they have 3 wins on the year. Like, why keep Carson and why not try out Jalen Hurts? But I don't know. It'll be really interesting to see how long they keep Carson Wentz in before replacing him. Because at this point, it's kind of just a joke at this point.
Yeah, I agree. Because I'll tell you what, I loved Jalen Hurts in the draft. I loved him as like a late third round pick for like the Packers, you know, to grab him. That would have, I would have loved to see him, you know, wearing green and gold because I think he's a really special project. And yeah, I think I agree with you, Janelle. I don't want to see him the first time against us, but also at the same time too, does Mike Pettine actually change his defense from team to team, or does he just run the same one? So like, does it really have that much of effect?
The holiday season's upon us, so the cookie cutter is always the same for Mike Pettine's defense. That is 100%. He's always consistent.
I thought you were going to say the cookie cutter for my Mike Pettine hate. Just every week.
You mix it up a little bit. But no, that's pulled one out of the drawer. But yeah, it's probably not. No, it's about the same at this point.
Yeah. One other thing that I want to touch on, moving forward for the Packers and the rest of the NFL is just focusing on the COVID issues that are going to be popping up the rest of the season. We're in the last month of the NFL season, and
oh my gosh,
by literal, I know that sounds crazy, right? Sorry.
Can bleep that one out later.
Right.
Isn't Lombardi's bar, come on.
I know. I need to reel it back in. I need to get it in. But literally by hook and by crook, the NFL has not missed a game yet, which is insane with especially after what happened this week with Steelers Ravens, which is now being moved to Wednesday. The Broncos not having a quarterback on the field. So I think that's something that has to be on the mindset of every fan moving forward is there's no way to predict it. You could literally wake up and your team could be the next Broncos. Your team could be the next Ravens where you have an outbreak and your game is getting moved around by literally almost 7 days to fit it into the schedule. So however we get through the rest of the next 2 weeks, and hopefully we don't see any more of these weird stuff, like moving forward, do we start going toward bubbles? You know, when do teams start preparing for you know, those eventualities when it comes to COVID and everything? Like, that has to be a storyline that is on the rest of the NFL's mind the entirety of the rest of the season.
Definitely. And we're getting towards, you know, flu season, cold season, right? Like, and it's only, and if people are, I mean, especially in the Midwest, I mean, mm-hmm. we all live in, you know, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Minnesota. Like, it's colder, people are inside more, and it's only going to ramp it up. And obviously we just had Thanksgiving, so people were, you know, not following the rules as they were probably supposed to. So it's only going to increase the exposure rate, and it's really going to become a race to, if we can get to the end of the season, because then at that point, then you have less than half the teams out. You don't have to worry about them. And it's a week by week basis. You can kind of, it's almost in its own bubble at that point, but it's, things are getting pretty dicey. This last week, it was bad. And it's, I mean, it's not done, right? I mean, the Ravens were still having guys test positive today. That's why the game got pushed back from, it's supposed to be on Tuesday when you're hearing this, till Wednesday. I mean, it's really at this point, like, how much worse can it get before you actually cancel a game? I mean, you got to call up a practice squad receiver who played like a few games at Wake Forest as quarterback for the Broncos. That game was awful. Terrible. I wish I would have bet on it because it would have been a smash for the Saints. And then you look at like the Ravens Steelers game, you pushed it back 6 days. Like, it was supposed to be on Thanksgiving. That was supposed to be the primetime game. That's the first time I think in like 15 years they haven't had a primetime game. And like, that was huge for the ratings, but like, still, they're still going to have this game roll out on a Wednesday afternoon just so it can be played. It's at this point, like, at what point is it finally like the last, you know, the last straw to break the camel's right. back. I just don't know when that's going to be. So I think maybe it's a race to get to week 17 and get to the playoffs, but I really don't know. I mean, I would be shocked if they ever cancel a game at this point, but I don't know. You're kind of running out of options, especially with the lack of bye weeks as we progress to the end of the season.
Yeah, and like you just said, Matt, the bye week, that was kind of the saving grace earlier in the season. You know, you could lose the bye week, switch the bye week, but yeah, I mean, it's just getting bizarre. And you look at when it comes out, all the different game changes, because now obviously if this week's affected for one team, then next week probably impacts. It's just kind of a snowball effect. And yeah, if you're playing a Wednesday game, then first of all, it's like having another bye week, and it's just, yeah, it's out of hand. And the Broncos thing really, it upset me, considering like how I watched them handle the Ravens situation versus the Broncos situation. Mm-hmm. I really sympathize for the Broncos because, yeah, you have this wide receiver coming in playing quarterback, and thankfully he scored as many points as Tampa did against the Saints, so not a horrible game, but yeah, I had to get that jab in there. But it's still just, nice. You know, yeah, maybe the Broncos aren't the best team, but that doesn't mean they shouldn't be treated like the rest of the NFL. You know, it's kind of like, oh, well, we want the best versus the best against the Steelers-Ravens. It's a rivalry game. It's two good squads, but at the same time, it's like, well, if you're gonna make this team play, like, how do you make that? Like, it's different, obviously, because of just some contact tracing issues versus some actual cases. But if it's getting so out of hand with these cases, why not just cancel it? Like, at some yeah. point, you have to say, you know, safety over money, basically. I know that's really hard for some people to comprehend, but you have to consider the long run of what's going on, and you don't want to force this and then all of a sudden the Steelers have an outbreak and then this possibly undefeated team is now having to struggle and all this stuff. And I know the Steelers, their players are really frustrated with everything going on, because yeah, you want that primetime Thanksgiving game, and 2020 is being a B word and just this whole chaotic mess. But yeah, you're going into Wednesday and you're playing a football game from the previous week, so I don't, and what you do if you cancel a game, I don't have a solution for that. I really don't know what you would do for that. They maybe should have figured something out schematically. If, hey, some teams aren't going to play as many games, then what do we do to determine playoffs or standings or anything like that? And I don't know. It's weird and it's frustrating, and hopefully we've been really lucky here considering the way Green Bay has been with cases, to not have anything go crazy, you know, missing a few players here and there, but nothing wild. So I think as you get closer yeah. to the end of the season, you have to start considering, okay, well, do we start to bubble these guys up 2 weeks before playoffs start, or how are you going to do this to ensure safety? Because when playoffs start, you need the best of the best out there. You don't want to be running with third and fourth string guys because all of a sudden there's an outbreak. You want to kind of do it, you know, we saw NBA, NHL do it, where you just kind of bubble off, and I don't know, maybe they'll pick two places for NFC and AFC and they all just play in the same city. I don't know, but that's something you have to start thinking ahead of before it gets there, because you can't get to playoff week and all of a sudden it's like, oh crap, we really haven't figured anything out, and now here we are with outbreaks.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head there, Janelle. There's been no precedent set yet for this. The NFL has been so inconsistent about what teams they'll make excuses for, or not excuses, but you know, exceptions for, to move games around, who's being forced to play with, you know, depleted rosters. I mean the Packers are a playoff team. They are playing against teams coming up here. I mean, you got the Eagles, you've got the Titans, technically the Bears and the Lions are in the mix for the playoffs. You're playing against teams that are playoff in playoff contention. These games are important, and the NFL is going to have to make room for them. And then, obviously, as we assume the Packers will most likely make the playoffs, what happens when they get into the playoffs and something crops up? There's been no precedent set yet, and you know, the next couple of weeks, the NFL is going to have to decide what happens, you know, when it comes playoff time, if they need to move games around, if games are in danger of being canceled, you know, whatever it is, the NFL needs to figure this out. It needs to happen now. And this week, I wanted to highlight in particular because this was just the absolute wildest week out of the entire NFL season when it comes to the COVID situation. Guys, as we wrap up here, is there anything else that you're looking forward to this week that you're kind of keeping an eye on? Anything that you want to touch on that we haven't yet?
Not really. The last thing of note, I'm sure everyone knows, week 14 versus the Lions was flexed from a noon game to 3:25 Central. I don't really care when games are flexed, to be honest. I know some people do, but strange that game would get flexed considering the Lions are terrible right now. But yeah, outside of that, I'm excited to see the Packers just kind of hit their stride here as we get into the last four or five games of the season and try to make a run here at this thing.
Yeah, I just want to see going into this week, obviously the offense, we know they can be hot, but for the first time, we really were excited about this defense. So I want to see that heat keep going into next week, you know, all the motivation. They had 3 sacks, 2 picks, fumbles, all this good stuff. And for the first time, we were able to really cheer about this defense. And I don't want it to just be because Bears offense is bad. So I want to see them keep that going and keep giving me something to be excited about on the other side of the ball.
Yeah, for sure. I want to. That defense this week was the most fun I've seen the defense have in a long time.
I mean,
time,
Preston so Smith good. Showed up. It was so fun.
Yeah. Well, you know what? There's something that we did kind of miss. And I think Matt kind of brought up when we were off air was Rashawn Gary getting the start over Preston Smith and getting some of those snaps and reps over Preston Smith. Like we've been talking about, a lot of people have been talking about, and yeah, it seemed like it kind of lit a fire under him.
Sometimes that's all you need. So, it's kind of like when, yeah, you know, in track, when the guys who are running past you motivate you more than anything. So sometimes you just need that extra push, and maybe that's what Preston Smith needed, or he just needed to play a bad offense. I don't know.
See, in my case, it was flipped because I was the kid, I was used as the stick in all of this stuff. So if you're losing to Kotnik, you've got issues, and you're going to be, if Kotnik beats you in anything, then we've got issues. So I'm the stick hitting everyone to make sure that they don't fall past the Kotnik line, we called it.
The Kotnik line. Oh, that's good.
Well, guys, make sure you're sticking with us through the rest of the week here as we get ready for game day on Sunday. Every single week, we've got tons of content. Obviously, the only 365-day Packer podcast, so you'll be able to catch an episode every single week with some of the most talented people in the Packer universe, if you want to call it. So make sure that you're following us at Packaday Podcast on Twitter. Subscribe, rate, review, tell your friends about it if you haven't already. Guys, where can people find you out there in the Twitter world, and anything that you want to kind of promote and touch on?
For sure. You can find me and the boys at PackersWorldwide.com in our streams. We do Packers Worldwide halftime hits during halftime of the Packer games. And on our Thursday streams for PWW Live, check us out on all social media platforms and subscribe to our podcast and check us out on the streams. Your questions, comments are appreciated during those. You can find me on Twitter at Matt_Frey_. That's at MATT_FRA_. Janelle, what do you have cooking?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter for all my my bland takes or whatever you want to call them at BigMac_4. Mac is M-A-C-K. And you can also follow my work at the Say It Again Network, and that you can follow on Twitter at SIA Network.
Awesome. I'm on Twitter as well at DK All The Way. Then you can also find me Wednesdays at 8:30 at Lombardi's Bar on the Game On Wisconsin YouTube channel. And then also articles and, well, it's crap. It's stupid crap on Game On Wisconsin.
You put out a legit
website,
one today.
I did. I actually wrote the tape on Austin breaking news thing. But even then, Jacob Westendorf literally told me to, quote, Kotnik it up. So wanted the traditional Kotnik stupid slant on things. So speaking of stupid, also Will Fuller got suspended for 6 games for PEDs. So probably good idea they didn't trade for him, right, Packer fans? with that, on that note, guys, until we talk. I wanted to try and end it with that.
But well, I was gonna come in and Dan, this is the first time we've recorded since you slandered me on Lombardi's Bar.
Oh no.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Hold on. I didn't slander I was literally 10 seconds away from ending this.
You were so close.
I slandered only the state of Minnesota.
Yeah, you
And I will
you
stand
did,
by that
You
statement.
Did back off and said, I don't know enough about it, but you just let Jimmy and Todd talk about how everything about it is hot garbage.
I promote free speech in my bar. Janelle, if you'd like to come on to Lombardi's Bar, you are more than welcome to come on and defend your state.
I might have to one of these days.
All right. My people will get a hold of your people.
Yeah, good call, because I can't keep defending myself in the comments because you guys can ignore them.
Exactly.
Otherwise, Jason's gonna have to bring me on Quick Slants again, and I'll keep slandering you guys.
Really. Well, guys, until we talk again, thanks for listening to another edition of Pack a Day Podcast. And until next time, go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go.